Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Cover Your Assets KC, the podcast that tries to help you get a little bit smarter about your financial life and especially retirement. I'm Walter Storholt alongside the great David Dickens. He joins us each and every week to learn a little bit more about the financial landscape. He's the president and wealth advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. You can check us out, listen to past episodes of the show, and much more online at CoverYourAssetsKC.com. David, great to chat with you this week. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing just well. I'm kind of bemoaning the fact that fall came and went, and we're into some fairly chilly temperatures. My Minneapolis daughter, however, tells me that they've already had snow, so we haven't had that. And so I guess that's
the silver lining
there. I saw some
people from Minnesota posting snow pictures already, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a good time to be in Kansas.
That's pretty good. Yeah, absolutely. Better than snow on, October 16th, I think they were posting pictures of snow. So it was, that seems a little early in the year, but we probably say that every year, don't we?
We probably do. I'm sure they do too.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Well, we've got a really important show to dive into today, David, and one that I think will help clear the air for a lot of people. It's in particular about a subject that, I don't know, in all honesty, David, I feel very much, you know, we had the fun with the Social Security quiz recently and had some fun with that. And I felt pretty comfortable from all these, podcasts of talking to you about these things. And, you know, when we talk Roth IRA and things like that, I feel very well versed because we talk about it a lot. But whenever we get into wills and trusts and the estate planning thing, I definitely feel like I'm out of my comfort zone when we talk about those kinds of things. And that's what we want to focus on today's show. So I'm hoping to get better personally in my knowledge on this episode with you. And I think our listeners will be along for that ride as well.
But it is, you're right. It's a really important topic. And we see missteps in this area a lot. And just a couple that I've seen in my office in the last couple of weeks made me think, okay, this is a topic. If you go back over all of our podcasts, we've touched this area a couple different times, but I just thought it would be really timely to do this again. Kind of people put together their to-do lists as we're closing in on the end of the year. And so this is really, really important stuff. And so hopefully there's at least one or two takeaways from today's podcast that people can use to make sure that they're all set if and when the unexpected happens.
We have definitely dabbled in some of these things, but it'll be nice to have an episode totally dedicated to this conversation. And I think one of the reasons there are so many missteps are because people often overlook estate planning as part of preparing for retirement. I think it's hard enough to get people to just, not focus on the growth of their portfolio and what percentage am I getting, and to think about all the other things like healthcare and income planning and the things that we often talk about on here, taxes, those kinds of things. And that overlooked element is what often leads to some of these misunderstandings and why there's maybe just not so much education about it. So today's episode mission is to explore some of those critical questions that you should ask and the strategies to help you prepare for retirement from this estate planning, wills, and trusts side of the board. So first of all, David, let's start with basics here. Why are wills and trusts important? And also, who are we talking to? Who needs to know these things? And at like what age do you need to start paying attention to the conversation about wills and trusts?
So wills and trusts are important because they determine who gets what of your stuff when you're not here anymore. And that's financial stuff and all the stuff that you have. Your will or your trust determines who gets it. And if you don't decide, then the courts in your state will decide for you. So there is a process if you choose to not do it or if something falls through the cracks. So who needs them? Well, just about everybody listening to this podcast needs one. Whether you are, 28 and the parent of a couple young kids, or whether you're a grandparent, or whether you're getting ready to retire, this is really important, and we're talking specifically to you. So everybody with assets and beneficiaries needs to know this stuff. Again, parents with young children, parents in a second marriage, super important. Grandparents with adult children who maybe aren't good with money. Those are just three examples of people who absolutely, positively need to get this message.
All right, that makes things clear and easy. So let's get into the next equation. So we need to pay attention, but then how does somebody know if a will or a trust is going to be right for them, or maybe that they need both? Because I think a lot of people just, have this assumption that, well, wills and trusts just doesn't really apply to me, most likely.
Yeah, the assumption is, well, that's just for people with tons of assets, and I don't need to worry about that. I would say that the vast majority of Americans just need a good will and complete beneficiary designations on their financial accounts. I would also say, however, that a lot of our listeners probably need a trust with really good beneficiary designations. So who needs a trust? Well, if you have more complex assets, maybe you own a business or you have a partnership, maybe you want to have particular control of your assets from the grave. So for instance, we have clients who have maybe, let's call it four kids, and one of them is a spendthrift, or maybe one of them has a substance abuse problem, and they can't just give a bunch of assets to that one particular child of theirs, that adult children. So they need to control that child's assets that they're inheriting from the grave. If you have minor children, super important that you have, you're probably going to have a trust in that case. You're going to set up guardian and what happens to those kids and their care until they are no longer minors. And then I've seen a lot of trusts where the grandparents are giving assets not just to their kids, but to their grandkids. And they want to be real specific as to how those things go. So you can do a whole lot with a will and beneficiary designations. But if you want to have more control from the grave over the assets that you're leaving behind, that's when a trust is probably recommended for you.
Okay, that makes sense. Some good differences between those two elements. Again, wills and trusts, key differences that you need to know. Is a trust just for money? This is something that came up in a recent conversation with somebody, in fact. Is a trust just for money, or can other assets be included in there, like, I don't know, property of some sort?
Yeah, so it absolutely positively includes basically all of your assets, including and maybe especially real estate. So your bank accounts, your IRAs, possibly. Although most times I recommend that your IRAs do not go in your trust, that they be left just to the beneficiary designations that are on them. But real estates and boats and vacation homes, and I've seen trusts that set aside a dollar amount for a dog, and another trust that set aside a dollar amount for two cats. Now, of course, the trustee is the person with the problem because they're the fiduciary that has to make all of that stuff happen. And when you set up a trust, you also name a trustee. And that person, acting as a fiduciary, is responsible for carrying out all of your wishes. But the it's super often that real estate, for instance, in my wife and my trust, our house is left to the trust with specific recommendations. And consequently, the beneficiary designation on that home at the county courthouse names our trust as a beneficiary. So that's super common, and it absolutely includes more than just your money.
All right, very good. So hopefully this has been a helpful recap so far of wills and trusts. Now, I think a key question to explore, David, you mentioned it off the top, the missteps. Where do you see people making big mistakes with wills and trusts?
Yeah, so I can think of a couple. The ones that stand out are kind of the ones that either they were humorous in some way or egregious in some way. But so a couple I've seen just in the last 6 months. I had a divorced client who, as we were going through all of her accounts, she discovered that her ex-husband was still the beneficiary on one of her accounts. And their divorce wasn't particularly friendly, so she was pretty shocked to find out that if she got hit by a bus on the way home that day, that her ex-husband would be getting that account. So that's one that I've seen way more than once, and so it's really important to make sure that you look over those beneficiary designations. That happened to be outside of a trust. That was just on a beneficiary designation. We saw one just in the last month where a husband unexpectedly dropped dead of a heart attack. And they had a piece of real estate that was owned by him and a business group that he was involved in. And that real estate was supposed to be, the wife thought that that was in their trust. The problem was that the trust was never funded with that piece of real estate. In other words, the real estate was not, did not name their trust as the beneficiary. Consequently, that ends up being an item that had to be probated, which costs attorney fees and a lot of time, in addition to all the other upset that's going on for this now widow. She has to mess around with something that she thought had taken place. So I want to dwell on that, Walter, just a minute, because that's not the first time we've seen that. If you spend all this money and time with probably a fancy law firm who has set up this nice big trust, and you've got a 60 or 80 page three-ring binder with all this cool paper in it, one of those pieces of paper should say, and by the way, you have to fund the trust by setting up beneficiary designations on the assets that are being controlled by the trust. And if that doesn't happen, then this paper is worthless. So usually what that means is you will go into your bank to, in our case, the Johnson County Courthouse or the Wyandotte County Courthouse or wherever you live and your real estate is owned, and you will set up the beneficiary designation on that asset. And what it might say is the beneficiary is the John H. and Mary L. Doe Revocable Trust dated, you know, January 1st, 2015. So that it names your trust as the beneficiary. And that's what's called funding the trust. If that doesn't happen, then that asset is not controlled by your trust. Almost always a bad thing. Once you are deceased, and that's the situation that it wasn't funded into your trust, you can't fix that. It has to go through probate. Some attorney is going to charge you a bunch of money to take it through probate. It's going to take usually between 6 and 18 months to get that done, and you're going to be really frustrated and unhappy. So even though you think that you have a trust that you paid a lot of money for that fully handles your assets, you've got to make sure that your trust was funded. This person, it's weighs heavy on me because this wife who was left behind, she is really, really fuming now because this big law firm in downtown Kansas City didn't fund her trust. Now, whether they told her, here's what you need to do, or however that occurred, it doesn't matter whether you're using a big law firm or a little law firm. The question you have to ask is, what additional steps have to take place here to make this trust effective? Just in case you can't remember the phrase, how do these assets get funded into the trust? One way or the other, you have to ask the question, are we totally done here, or do I need to take additional steps? Super, super important. And you can't fix it once that person is deceased. You know, Walter, another big mistake that we've seen is I've seen estate planning attorneys that have recommended. So let's say that an estate is going half to somebody's family and half to charities, and they've got both IRAs and taxable accounts in their estate. I've seen this mistake happen a number of times where the estate planning attorney recommend that the IRAs go to the people and that the taxable amounts, the taxable accounts, go to humans. I'm sorry, they go to the charities. The problem with that is what you want to do is you want the IRAs. If the IRAs go to the people, those are totally tax-deferred, and every penny they take out of those IRAs is going to be taxable when they take it out. If the IRAs go to the charity, well, the charity doesn't pay any taxes. They take it out, and there are no tax consequences to that. So your gifts go much further to the charity if they get the IRAs. The people who receive your taxable accounts, at least under current law, they're going to get a stepped-up cost basis on those accounts. In other words, if you bought some stock in that account 20 years ago and paid, you know, 10 bucks for it, and today it's worth 100 bucks, that taxable gain is not taxable to the person who inherits your account. So that's the perfect account to be inherited by a human, not a charity. So Different types of accounts can most tax efficiently be inherited by different types of beneficiaries. Whether you're giving money to charity or human beings, there are certain consequences you want to be able to think through. And a lot of times, that's not best thought through by your estate planning attorney, but probably by a financial advisor who's hopefully acting as a fiduciary on your behalf.
So it sounds like there's some great flexibility there, but with flexibility also comes more opportunities for mistakes. And that's why you got to make sure all these things are buttoned up.
Exactly. So they're okay. Those are all choices. You know, there's some good choices. There are not some so good choices. And, you know, Uncle Sam is happy to benefit from your mistakes. But once you're gone, those types of mistakes can't be fixed. So just make sure you're getting some good advice up front that your assets are going to the places where you want them to go with the best tax outcomes possible. And that just makes your assets go as far as they can go once you're not here anymore.
Last question for you, David, and it kind of has to do with where to get the advice and how that all works, because I know that there's folks who are financial professionals, but maybe only deal with one element of financial planning. There's others who kind of look at a more full picture, but then there's also folks who are just estate planners. They consider themselves to just work in that estate planning world, and maybe more on the lawyer side of things, the attorney side of things, than on the financial side of things. So who does somebody talk to about setting up a will or a trust, and what role does the financial advisor play in that matter? Is this something you handle all in-house? Do you have to work with a third party to execute some of these things? Do you need the financial advisor involved in this conversation? Where do you see, I guess, your role and how somebody should help kind of pull all this together with the rest of the financial plan?
Yeah, Walter, I think my role is to make a good referral. If my client is looking for this kind of work to be done, I have a relatively small network of financial planning attorneys who I know what they specialize in, and I know that they will do a complete job. So one of the attorneys that I use, when she completes the plan, she doesn't send the plan to me because that's confidential between her and the client. The client is free to share that with me. But what she does do is send me an email and say, "Hey, Dave, here are the things that your client needs you to make sure that are all in good order." Usually that has to do with beneficiary designations on their accounts that they have with me. And a lot of times that is asking me to make sure that the trust is properly funded. If that doesn't mean anything to you, then you should hit your rewind button about 5 minutes. And you'll know that that's super important when somebody sets up a trust. So really, it's a matter of kind of making sure that the left hand knows what the right hand's doing. If you may not have a financial advisor, and if that's working for you, that's fine. But you just want an estate planning attorney. It absolutely does not have to be the biggest firm in town. There are, out here in Overland Park, there are terrific small firm estate planning attorneys who do a really, really good job. You want to make sure, if you can get a referral from somebody you trust, that's really good. And so hopefully your financial advisor and your estate planning attorney work somewhat hand in hand to make sure that all the questions are answered. What I'll do is once somebody comes back with their estate plan, I will go through it and make sure that it doesn't have any of those glaring mistakes that you would expect not to have from a good estate plan. Beneficiaries intact and the wishes of the client accurately described in the estate planning documents. So it can all come together relatively easy and pretty smoothly as long as you have really good communication. And a lot of times that includes that triangle between client, estate planning attorney, and financial advisor.
Beautiful. I think it's really helpful to get all this laid out in one episode. And we did cover a lot of ground here today, David. And glad to hear that also you're kind of the quarterback of the picture, going to help make sure all these things come together for a client. I know that's one thing that can be overwhelming about financial planning in general. And then when we start talking about things like estate planning and gussying up some of these things, it's just kind of another thing to add to the list. And some people, I think, have to take a deep breath at that. But it's nice to know that there's somebody to guide you through the whole picture. I mean, to be honest, I knew you would. I knew you would be there for us, but I always like to double check.
The other thing, another reason why it's super important to me is when someone dies, the person left behind usually comes to my office and says, okay, what do we do now? And so if I've had some hand in the putting together of the plan, it makes it super simple for me to quarterback the things that come next once someone is no longer with us.
Not just easier on you, but I would imagine easier on the client as well.
Way right? easier on the client.
Yeah. Yep. Dealing with a lot of other stuff when that happens, if you can eliminate this from your worries and having to spare emotional capital to deal with all of this, if the plan is already in place, going to help you a lot manage that situation when it comes. And if we're being honest, it will for all of us in one way, shape, or form or the other. So got to be ready for it, and it needs to be part of the plan. If you have any questions about what David has talked about today and you want to go over a little bit of it with him, talk one-on-one, maybe even get a full, complete planning review of your situation and some of the gaps and holes that might exist in that plan right now and how those can be fixed and corrected going forward, and you want to get that full plan in place, you can eventually go down that route. It all just starts with a simple phone call. It's not a painful process from there. If you want to get in touch and talk to David a little bit more about that, you can call 913-317-1414 and always online at coveryourassetskc.com. Coveryourassetskc.com. And we put the contact in the description or the show notes section of today's show as well. David, thank you for the help and assistance on the program today, and we'll look forward to another episode with you next week.
I will look forward to it as well. Thanks, Walter.
Thanks so much. That's David Dickens. I'm Walter Storholt. We'll talk to you next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.